Join us as Pastor Ron Duty talks about how the birth of Jesus Christ is God's invitation to get to know Him better. Before Jesus, we could only catch glimpses and shadows of God. Now, because of Him, we can see God more clearly.
And this had been one rough week for Karen and I. We have, I know most of you, being up in age, have been on medications, and your medication gets changed. And I always say this, that whenever you go to the doctors to see a doctor for different problems that you might have, they are either going to do one of two things. They are either going to heal you or they're going to kill you. And this past week, I thought they were going to do the second one, but by Wednesday night, the medication they put me on is really messed up. But my doctor, she kept saying, hang in there, you're going to survive this. Stay with it, it'll work. And this morning, it seemed to be working. Blood pressure down to normal. Another thing, we went out to... We did get out of the house one day last week, and while we were out, we got caught in traffic, and some guy in a truck sideswiped the car and did not stop. And so we called the insurance, and the insurance said, yeah, don't worry about it. We got pictures of the truck that hit us. We got pictures of the driver that hit us, and the insurance said, we're really not concerned. If you're not concerned, I'm not concerned. And so I let my blood pressure drop as a result of that. So it's just been one of those weeks, you know what I mean? Folks, sometimes at this time of year, people kind of get discouraged and things get down because of all the things that are going on. But I want to encourage you to just keep your chin up, because I want you to know this morning that God is in charge of all that takes place. And this is the exciting time of year, no matter what happens, because we know that our Savior came into this world for you and for me. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall break forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. And God is with us. Man. And listen, I have been in a relationship, a saved relationship with the Lord for now 50 years now. And I can tell you that we have gone through some things that have really been hard and really been stressful. And the only way that we were able to understand and find peace and joy and contentment in those issues in life is because we realized that God was with us. He was always there. Mary. God is always there. And one of the greatest promises we have in the Bible, is it comes from Matthew, about the 18th chapter, where Jesus says this. He said, lo, I am with you always. Can you imagine that? He said that to you, and he says that to me. Lo, I don't care what you're going through, I am with you. I don't care how bad it gets, I am with you. I don't care how good it is, I'm with you. Just understand, I am with you, always there by your side. Now, Christmas, now you think about Christmas, how many of you are ready for Christmas now? How many got all your gift, got all the trees up, got the tree up, got it all decorated, you're ready to go, all right? All right, we got a few in here, all horror. We're good. Listen, I haven't even been out yet. I haven't done anything, so I'm one of those guys that procrastinates. I wait the last minute because I'm looking for the best gift, but I want to get it at the cheapest price. And you can usually find them about the day before Christmas. So somebody wants to get that off their hand, and they want to pawn it on to somebody else, and I'm always available to take it. But when we look at Christmas, and we think about Christmas, Christmas is an invitation. Now listen, Christmas is an invitation from God. And that would be the title of my sermon this morning. Christmas is an invitation from God to you and me and to the whole world. Now, we could call it Christmas a lot of different things, but it's an invitation from God for you and me and the world to come and get to know Him. Now, I know I say this every year dealing with Christmas, and so this is the only second time I've said this, but my favorite Christmas show is the Christmas Carol. Yeah, I'm getting old. I haven't watched it yet, but it's the Christmas Carol. And I don't know, I know all you're familiar with it, but that's my favorite show, the Christmas Carol. And one of the things about the Christmas Carol I like is in one particular one, is that I think it's the second spirit that visited that night, and it's a Christmas present. And he's in that room, and he tells Scrooge, he says, as he looks into that room, it's all bright and got all the food and all the decorations and all that type of stuff in that room. And that spirit looks at Scrooge, and he says, Scrooge, and he doesn't use Scrooge, he said, but come and get to know me better, man. Come and get to know me better, man. I like my son that he used to say that all the time. Come and get to know me better, man. Now listen, that's what God says at Christmas. Come and get to know me better. Come and to a relationship with me. Come and understand who I am. See what I've done and all that I'm doing and all that I'm going to do. And it seems like they look in the world, God's not doing very much. But I want you to know something this morning. God's busy. It would surprise me if you and I are still around next Christmas and we're not in heaven. I believe that we're that close. Man, some of the things that you see taking place out there in society, dealing with the end of time and all that's happening in the world, we're there and God is still proclaiming to the world, come and get to know me better. And if you study Paul's writing, do you ever notice that in just about everyone had the epistle, he uses something like this. He said, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Do you know what that means? If you look at it, it's two different words. It's Greek and it's Hebrew. Greek and Hebrew. And both of them is kind of like our English word. It says, hello. Bosta. Hello. And it's kind of like where Paul uses that word, grace and peace. It's hello, hello. And that's from God. Hello, hello. I'm here. Don't you know that I'm here? Can't you see that I'm here? Can't you see all that I've done? Now, whenever you begin looking at this scripture passage, there are several things you want to find here. And I'm going to spend, now listen, from now until the play, I'm going to spend the next week, this week and next week right here in this part of scripture, Matthew 1:18 through 23. Right, we're going to expound upon this a little bit and see if we can't come down to know who, understand a little bit more about who God is, because He is a great God, and He wants you and me to know Him on a personal level. And He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him where we could truly proclaim to the world at this time of year that God is real and He is there. Folks, He is real and He is there. So let's take and look at three things this morning that was given to this individual at his birth. And the first one we're going to look at is in verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother was about to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now the first name I want to look at is the name Jesus. Now look down at verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I love that, don't you? Man, I mean, that right there verse is a verse that encourages me to the point where it says, and she shall bring forth a son, which we know, we look back on this as history now, that son came forth, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The name here that we look at is the name Jesus. And Jesus is the Greek word for the word Yeshua or Joshua of the Old Testament. And what it actually means, and they actually give you the definition of it, there Jesus actually means saviors. Someone who is going to save. And it's back, like I said, through Joshua or Yeshua of the Old Testament. And it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How many of you know, and hopefully everybody in this room knew and know that you need to be saved from something?
Yeah.
All right? Because I can see it on your face.
Yep. You got some mean looks.
Oh, right here.
Man, I thank God that he's willing to save us all, don't you? How many of you knew? I like that TV program. I've shared this with you before. I like that TV program. I watch sometimes with that guy standing on the beach. He's just talking to people about Jesus. And these people will talk about how, some of them talk about how good they are and all this, how nice they are and stuff like that. And then he'll look at them. He'll say, well, did you ever lie? And the guy will say, yeah, I lied. And some of you know who I'm talking about. And he'll look at him and he'll say, would you ever steal anything? And the guy will say, yeah, I stole something. And he said, well, did you ever use God's name in vain? And the guy would say, yes, I've used God's name in vain before. And the guy would look at him and said, then you think you're a good guy? He said, let me tell you what you are. You're a liar, and you're a thief, and you're a blasphemer. Now, whenever you stand before God, do you think God's going to see you as good? Now, let me tell you this morning, folks. You're liars. All right? You're thieves, and you're blasphemers. And I know we don't use God's name in vain brutally. Sometimes we got that under control. I remember a guy by the name Dean Frame. He was one of the worst cuss person I ever heard cussing. And that's all he did. I mean, just language after language after language. And whenever he came to know Christ, I told him one day, I said, Dean, if you ever get saved, you'll never have a conversation with anyone. I said, because you won't have any vocabulary. And eventually, this dude, he comes to know Jesus as a Savior. Let me see how he didn't know Christ. One night, I shared with him about Jesus, and I told him, I said, you know, Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to change you. And he was driving down 71 South and got almost to Frank Road. He said, I pulled over the side road there, and he said, I asked Jesus to come in my heart. He said, I was under so much conviction. But it surprised me, and when he came back to work, he could still talk. Because God had dealt with the language that he had. And I never heard him cussing any time after that. But let me ask you a question this morning. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have ever been entrapped and have somebody do something bad in front of you and not necessarily say anything but think something? You know what I mean? And some of you, I see the look on your face and I know that's you. So sometimes we don't have to force it. It's things that we just do, things that we just think. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is even though we might act and look good sometimes, we know who we really are, and God knows who we really are. And as a result of that, he knew that we needed a Savior. And the Savior that we need was someone who could save us from those sins that were in our life. You know why? Because those sins that were in our lives caused death. It caused separation from a holy God, and God wanted to have a relationship with us. And again, it brings us to Christmas, where he says, as an invitation, come and know me. The Bible says in Romans, says, for as by one man's sin entered into the world sin, or entered into the world death, and death was because of sin. Where did sin enter in? We all know where it came in. It came in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve sinned. Remember? In the Bible, as you read it, they sinned there, and after they sinned, they went and hid. And I find this kind of interesting. They sang that they're going to hide from God. And God says, hey, my eye sees everything. Not only do I see it, maybe you verbally say it, but my eyes see it, whenever you think it, and it's in your heart. He says, I know. But here it is, they're in the garden, they go and hide. And a lot of people in the world today, they think they're hiding from God, but God sees it all. You ever think for a moment, why was it that Adam and Eve hid from God? Think about a moment, just for a minute. Prior to their committing the act of sin that separated them from God, that brought death into their life, they had a relationship with God where they kind of walked around in the garden. God would meet with them, and they would talk with God, and they'd have good conversation. Now they're over here in the bushes someplace. They're hid from God, and God comes to greet them. And what does he say? Adam, where are you at? And Adam said, well, you know, we hid ourselves. Why do you think he went and hid? You know what I think? This is what I think. And now, just follow along with me for a moment. I think the reason that Adam went and hid is because he knew what type of conversation that he and God were going to get into as a result of the sins that he just committed. Don't you? You think God would come to him and say, hey, because everything's fine? No, I don't think God's going to have that conversation with him. I think Adam knew that in his heart. I think he just simply knew that he had this encounter with God, and God was going to talk with him about the things that he has just did, and he didn't want to talk with God about those things. It wasn't so much that he wanted to hide because he was naked, even though he said, I hid because we were naked. He had already covered himself up. But he said, I think he hid as a result of the conversation that he knew that he was going to have with God, and he had to face the consequences of his action. Amen. And here it is. I think a lot of people today does do the same thing. I think there are people out there in the world definitely do it. And I think there are people in the church that do it. All right? In a way that what they do is they don't necessarily come to church. And you wonder sometimes, well, why don't they come to church? And they'll give you all different types of reasons why they don't come to church. And there's legitimate reasons why they don't. But I think a lot of times the reason they don't come to church is simply for the fact is they know that if they get into a church and they begin to get into the Bible and they begin reading the Bibles or hearing somebody talk about God, about the Word of God, that they're going to be confronting with the Word of God. Not only are they going to be confronting with the Word of God, but they're going to be confronting by the Spirit and the power of God. And the Spirit and power of God is going to say, hey, listen, this thing is going on in your life and you need to deal with it. And they don't want to have that conversation with God. And so what they do, instead of coming to church, they say, I'm just going to stay home because God's not here at the house. He's only in church. So whenever you think about Christmas, it's God's extending the invitation to the world and even to his own people to come and get to know me better. Folks, listen, I know I say this a lot, and I know some of you too, and you would do the same thing. I wouldn't have that kind of patience. Back whenever I was a little boy, my daddy would look at me and he would say, Ron, I want you to go out there and chop some kindling. And I better had, now listen, my dad was a good man, don't get me wrong, but I had better had my ears in tune to what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because my dad didn't come back and say that the second time, say, hey, boy, I want you to go out there and chop some kindling. No, the second time, I wanted to go chop some. But he just gave me a reason for doing it.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is, that's me in a lot of ways. That's us in a lot of ways. We don't have that kind of patience. But we have an eternal God that looks down at us and say to you and me all the time, well, let's try to understand this. Yeah, let's reason.
And we'll sometimes look at God and think, well, I know better than you, God. I'm just going to stay home today. I'm not going to be.
I know some of you like to read books, all right? If there's ever a little book that you need to read, if my heart, Christ's home. My heart is Christ's home. All right? Get that. It's just a little pamphlet. If you don't like to read it, it won't take you very long to get through it. And it is an awesome book to read. It talks about how we deal with God physically, emotionally, and even in our will, and how we react toward God and the effect that it has on us as we do these things with God. But here it is, Jesus is saying, I come to save people from their sins. And now here it is, Adam's out in the garden. Can you imagine if he had this dialogue with God, what he thought about the garden? Don't think like it's from all. Here it is. He goes and talk with God. Hey, they tell me I can walk around with this thing on. So I'm going to come down here for a little bit. But here it is. He's having me water. And he just had the dialogue with God. And they go through all the excuses as to why he did what he did. And God, you know, said, okay, now here, I got a plan. And that was always God's plan, is to have a plan. And the end goal is to bring you and me before his throne in glory someday. Even from the very moment that man stand in the garden, even before that, because in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world together. So we did, God had the plan to rescue us. And he had, as he goes through this dialogue, did I imagine Adam and Eve, after they go through this dialogue with God, and they have a moment by themselves, and they look over at all that they had sacrificed, the garden. Just a little story here. Adam and his son, later on, they were walking by the garden, and they were looking over at the garden, and the son asked Adam, said, Dad, said, what's that all about over there? What's that garden all about? And Adam said, son, he said, that's where your mother ate us out of house and home. But just on the other side, right for him, Adam was just as responsible as Eve what took place that day in the gardens. Because if you read that scripture right, you'll find out that it said, and Adam or Eve took a bite of this forbidden fruit, whatever it was, and said, and gave it to Adam, who was there with her. So Adam was there. He knew what was going on. But here it is. Adam and Eve, after it's all over, and they're looking over at the garden, and they see the garden. I'm just saying, they look into the garden, they see how beautiful it was, and they see how they messed up, and they just wanted it back. Because they knew in that garden, not only was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but there was also a tree of knowledge, the tree of life. Now, they wanted to get back into that garden where they had all the comfort and had a relationship with God and get to that tree of life where they had the relationship with God restored again. But God said, nope, it didn't want to happen. You know what he did? He put a cherubim there at the entrance to the garden to prevent anyone from ever getting into that garden to the tree of life. So Adam and Eve have a problem. Interesting, isn't it? And I bet they thought to themselves, how will we ever get past that chair there with that sword? How are we ever going to get to that tree of life? How can we ever get back what we lost? And God comes with an answer. And let me tell you something. The answer comes from another garden. And that other garden is called Gethsemane, where Jesus kneeled down and prayed. And because Adam was defeated in the Garden of Eden, Christ was victorious in Gethsemane. And as a result of that, he faced that sword of that angel. He took upon him the punishment that you and I would have received if we tried to. And as a result of that, he opened up the door for you and I to come to the tree of life. Sin washed away. Isn't that good? And I asked God. Adam was lost. He didn't win in the garden. But Jesus won in the garden. And he opened up to mankind the tree of life. That's why he's the Savior. Folks, listen to me. If you have heaven as grand as it's going to be, and you know it's going to be an awesome place, listen, it's going to be long. And I don't care how many skeptics there are in this room, and I don't care how many skeptics I come into throughout the rest of my life, I will always tell them heaven is real. Heaven is real. Because I'm telling you, as a pastor, I have been in the presence of too many people to see God working in their life to say that there is no God and that he's not working. Because God is working, Ms. Cruz.
Amen.
But if heaven is real, and all that God offers us is real in the future, and all that God offers us today through his son Jesus Christ, a Savior, the divine world with someone, not one, it's free.
Why would you not?
Man. Because if you don't take it, you will one day face that sword that was there in that garden, eternally separated from that light, which is in Christ Jesus, God.
Amen.
Savior. A Savior. And notice what he said there. Now, the birth, in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now we can spend more time, and we will spend more time on Jesus as we next week, all right? Here, let's take a look at the next name. It's called Christ. Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Or the Messiah. Remember, the Jews would always look at Jesus and they'd say, are you the one? Are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that comes to rescue us from our sins? And what he's actually saying here between verse 18 and 23, Jesus is already stating, I am him. I am the Messiah. I am the one that comes. I am the one that rescues. I am the only one that's capable of doing that. You'll never know Jesus. You'll never know God, and you'll never know heaven outside of Jesus. That's just true. Notice, what I'm saying this morning is real. This is real. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to get up, and I have to kind of like pitch myself. And you know what I mean? You'll do that. You'll wake up, think, you ever have those dreams you think are so real? Man, I had one the other night that was, I don't have too many dreams. And boy, and most of my dreams that I have, I could share these with you, but most of my dreams that I have are dreams that actually are real and they come true. Well, the other night, man, I sure hope that dream don't come true. Because I was chased by mafia. Somebody in this church doesn't like me. And these guys came after me, and man, I mean, I was beating them up, and I won at the end, but I had to go through a struggle to get there. I hope that dream doesn't come true. And sometimes that we talk about this stuff that's in God's word, I think that's a dream. It's a dream. Heaven's dreams. The way God touches the heart, that's a dream. The way God brings peace into our life, that's a dream. The way God brings joy into our life, that's a dream. Then I have to wake up and realize, no, it's no dream. It's real. It's real. And there are millions and millions of Christians on this planet that says, it is real because he did the same thing for me that he did for you. And he'll do the same thing for you that he did for us. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord this morning, you can know him. Why? because of Christmas and the invitation from God, come and get to know me better. And even if you think you are a theologian in God's word, the invitation still stands. Come, get to know me a little better. Because each day will bring you closer and closer and closer and deeper and deeper and deeper into a relationship with an eternal God that would take you an eternity to get to know. Isn't that then? God's made fundable through that second garden in his son Jesus, who was willing to step out for you and me. Now, Christ, the Messiah, yes, I'm the one that's come to deliver you. And then I'll go to the last one, and that's in verse 23. And there he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Now he gives you the interpretation here of what that actually means. Being interpreted is what? God is with us.
God.
Yep.
God
is with us. And we go all the way back to the very beginning of what it says. Whenever Jesus says to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What he said to his disciples, look, Jesus is with you until the end of the world. The Messiah is with you until the end of the world. And Emmanuel is with you until the end of the world. God is with you. No matter what you go through in life, God is with you all the way to the very, very end.
I'll bring this to a close there.
I've seen people who struggled with God. And whenever they came to life, the end of life, I was so glad that they had come to the end. I know that sounds bad, but I was glad that they came to the end of their life because there was so much troubling, so much pain, so much hurt, so much pain in their life. But the good things about it is that God, I knew, was there with them and they were going through those things. And as a result of that, that dream of heaven came and became a reality to this. The streets of gold in heaven. I got to tell you this morning, though, you had to do this as a trivia, and I will close with it a bit. I don't know if the streets in heaven are really paved with gold or some of you, how many of you think the streets in heaven paved with gold?
Oh, that's Marcus. A
few of you? Yeah.
I don't know that.
The Bible really does say where it is. And I know some of us would jump on Revelation, and we'll talk about that someday in the future. And it just perk your imagination, right? Keep you, interested. But there come a day maybe we'll talk that. But I want you to know, I don't know what heaven looks like. I've seen description to the scriptures. I've seen the beauty of them trying to explain. Listen, it's kind of like what we just read this morning. As I read all that stuff this morning and I studied on this stuff, it does not tell me what God is like. I only get a glimpse of it. And whenever I study the Bible about heaven and all these other things, I say, man, this is, it's going to be an awesome place. But my imagination cannot fathom what God has stored to you.
Look, I just get a glimpse of it. But I know it's going to be a happy place. Amen?
We love you. We want you to have your own way in our life, each of my life, personally. We want you to the God that you are in charge of our lives, leading us, Father, your spirit. Help us walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Help us walk in your spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Help us, Father, walk close to you
you extended the invitation. We were invited, and then you give the power to even receive. This morning, the invitation you extend out to anyone and everyone. And Father, I always say at the end of each service that the invitation is to those that don't know Jesus first to come to know him. And what better place to do it than in your house? The other is for Christian people who are dealing with things in their life to come to know you better. And Father, the invitation is for us, no matter what it is, whatever type of need we might be having, your invitation is come and just lay it before you and see what you could truly do as you work with them, help them treat whatever it is they're dealing with. Come on. You, Father, are a God that is present in each of our lives. We thank you for that. As we close this service with this invitation, your will be done. We thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.